You're listening to Empire of Rust, the first and greatest Transformers RPG podcast. Join the heroes of Cybertron as the last vestiges of Starscream's war take them to the far-flung colonies to defend the planet from distant threats and protect the Cybertronian Republic from the shadow of the Harmonium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Empire of Rust, the first and still greatest Transformers RPG podcast. I got it this time, guys!
Huzzah!
Good.
A six-month break doesn't fuck me up. Or maybe it does.
The funny thing is you were actually going to delete that from the first one, so no one's going to know that you messed up the last one. But now you've just reinforced
it. Tied yourself to it.
Yeah.
Now I can't. Feel your own feet.
Can't get rid of it. You know what? I think it's important. You know, I think it's important that people understand that GMs are not infallible. I mean, I was surprised too.
Were you though?
But it happens.
Were you?
I thoroughly disabused them of that notion. the last six months proves nothing else.
I disagree. I think the last 6 months have been some of the greatest things we put out.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
You're entitled to your opinion.
Pat, you just raised an interesting comment before we started recording.
Hmm.
Do Cybertronians go to Earth to have tourism and just look at humans? Kind of like we would, some people would go to a mall and just do people watching. Do they do human watching?
I mean, I guess. I mean, humans are considered part of the fauna, right? So it's just they've got these organic outcroppings. They make their houses out of wood. It's weird. Formerly living.
Strange.
Yeah. I don't know. When they're out humaning, what do they do? When they gather and they're peoples, are they peopling? Can we go peopling? Can we people? I don't know.
We should people.
If we only see one, I think it's only called personing.
Personing. Okay.
These are the nuances we need to know.
This is what a culture check would tell us, and we're all failing ours right now.
Just throwing dice everywhere.
Adam, I'm going to throw you under the bus here.
Why?
Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom,
the bus. I am the bus.
If Sweet Spot were to go to Earth to do some people watching, to do some peopling, what would he be looking for?
See what the big deal is with the clothing. I don't get it. Just paint your skin.
Some of them do, actually.
Yeah.
It's hard to get off, apparently, though.
It's very fine details. But they don't always show it off, what I'm saying. If you're going to paint your skin, show the skin. Be proud of it. Why go through all the trouble?
I think it's part of their mating rituals.
Now, that's an entirely different subject, which has me baffled on an hourly consensus.
I mean, as far as clothing goes, I mean, Magnum is wearing clothing.
Yeah, he knows all about that.
And he's weird.
And weird. It's weird on him. Just think, a whole culture of creatures doing that. Just putting things on, like second skins and the like.
You guys don't understand fashion, that's all.
Oh, I understand fashion.
Very fashionable.
I mean, just look at these candy stripes right here. These red stripes all down my hood. White.
Does it make you go faster?
Oh, it does. It causes quite a few malfunctions in neck gyros as I pass by. I give you that.
I think between all of you, maybe it's Magnum and Wildstrike. I mean, probably Magnum, but I think Wildstrike would have a little bit of it there. I think the two of you would most understand or most kind of associate, most understand, I think, humans. Magnum, definitely, because, your entire, backstory is all about, learning human culture from...
We talk from TV!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think Wildstrike, you got a tube partly because of Nyko. And I think this is like a recent development for your character, like having to interact with like someone of that size.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone human sized.
Just difference with the size. Yeah. Cause he is human size. That's correct.
Yeah. And before then, you know, like seeing like a human might've just looked like, hey, here's a couple of like little like rats or mice or something kind of scurrying around mm-hmm. like underneath. But now that you have a companion that is effectively their size, it's.
You have to watch where you step.
Hmm.
Okay. I've learned this the hard way, but don't pick them up and fold them into a weapon in your hand because they don't appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. If they make like the sonic damage that they emit is so weak, like it does almost nothing. You know.
There goes Carapace war crime again.
And you know, with that, I think we're just going to jump right into the episode.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
It's funny because Magnum's probably never seen blood because the movies he's watched didn't have any.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as far as he's concerned, you sort of shoot in their general direction and then they fall over. You know? It's also why he's a bad aim. Yeah.
All of you are at Metrotite on Earth in the embassy. Now, Carapace, I believe you have figured out. So you're tracking someone down. Do you want to share who you're tracking?
Yeah, so I'm looking for an almost mythical transformer called Swampstone. And what was his name? The asshole that we.
Swampstone.
No.
Oh, yeah. The luggage. Mr. Luggage.
Crocodile yeah. Rock.
Leatherback?
Leatherback.
Yeah, Leatherface.
Yeah, so like Leatherback was also a bounty hunter and took for all of his swagger, he supposedly did have a lead on where Swampstone was, and he's supposed to be somewhere here. I actually had placed a tracker on Leatherback, assuming that he had gone away, but then Rex killed him, which, you know, awesome, but, you know.
How many times have we had to say that? I mean,
yeah.
Then Rex killed him.
But I figured that he probably has some sort of lair here. I was going to try and find that, and then maybe there's some sort of information as to where Swampstone is.
So we're trying to track a bounty?
Not a bounty. I don't know who he was bountying. I'm doing it for personal reasons. So.
Are you trying to arrest him? Kill him? What are you trying to do with
him? I want to ask him to bring a bot back from the dead.
What?
He can do that?
Like I said, mystical. Mythical. Like, you know. He was a legend on Eucharis, and one of Rex's herd got killed when I was not present, and I told him that I would do everything in my power to bring him back, and this is everything in my power. So.
Interesting.
I mean, as far as I know, you just need to a table, some lightning, and a short man.
How short?
Never mind.
Why y'all looking at me?
All right, we're with you. That seems like a good idea. Anything to help Rex's pal?
Yeah.
And then I'll just enjoy the look on, you know, Sweet Spot's face when he comes back to life. Yeah.
When who comes back to life?
Oh, whoever this bot is.
Oh, Pythagoras, thank you for implanting all of those things that I collected when I visited Rex on Eucharis.
You got it.
Yes, it was very interesting to see how that was done.
Just let me give you a container next time, you know. just instead of just throwing it in my hands. That'll do. But
okay, I can do that.
All right. So how are you planning on tracking him down here? Just kind of walk me through like high level on this.
One, I'll ask any other bots that are on the planet if they've actually seen where he is. He might not have made it hidden. And then barring that, I could try and track him by scent. I mean, it's been a while, but, you know, beast senses are pretty good, so. One question I do have is, like, we have this rule of stay in our alt mode. My alt mode is still alien to them.
It is, isn't it?
Like, I'm a walking tank or I'm a giant beetle, so what's the protocol on this?
I guess they're expecting people who are coming to Earth to either adopt a new alt mode, or, you know, use holograms to disguise themselves or not go outside. So,
okay, so I actually can do holograms. That was one of the things I got. I got a holo projector Mark III.
Nice.
The specifics of it are kind of vague. If I can use it to make myself look like just like a larger, more terrestrial vehicle, that would be great.
I'm okay with that for story purposes. That's fine.
Cool. Now, what do I look like?
It's an important decision for any Transformer to decide what they're going to look like.
Right.
I mean, you could get some fashion advice from Sweet Spot here.
I'm thinking maybe something like a bulldozer. You know, like a very large bulldozer. You know, something that, like, it's big.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So that
you're a big vehicle, you know. It's a cosmetic change to what you are. I mean, but we're supposed to be able to do that anyway, right? All forms are supposed to be able to make cosmetic changes to adapt, right?
There's cosmetic changes, and then there's what Pat wants to do.
Yeah.
This cosmetic change would probably be the most, like, look like a real giant beetle, which wouldn't help things, believe me.
I've got the Mysterious Stranger feat, which allows me to make alterations to my alt mode. So I look like possibly a different bot, different form.
Oh yeah, that's like super disguise. I'm sort of in a pickle too because I'm not mobile.
Yeah,
you
can be
You can be tiny and ride inside of. Yeah, I was gonna say ride inside Sweet Spot.
Yeah. Or get tied to his roof.
No. I think I'll go to hat mode in this case. Although, if you plunk me down somewhere, I can scan a fast food restaurant and say, eat at Magnum's. Little french fries and burgers going around the brim of the big hat.
Are you a harrier, Mike? Like, are you able to do vertical, or are you like a runway kind of?
I don't think I can do vertical.
Your alt mode is based off of the stealth bomber Megatron toy, yeah. Isn't it?
Yep.
So, super subtle.
Right.
As if one thing Megatron was known for is subtlety.
Yeah.
So is there anything that we can do for you?
I mean, I can just fly around.
But I mean, you're still a stealth bomber, you know?
Yeah, they won't see me.
Quite well made.
If only it works that way.
Well, let's find out if we need to go into human areas first before we go crazy about this.
That's you know, true.
Because he might not have been living in a human area.
That's a question. What year on Earth is this like equivalent to?
I forget the exact year. I think it would have been around 2015, give or take.
Okay.
So a stealth bomber would have been, you know, would have been known. It would have been highly unusual to see, but...
We are in the desert.
Disconcerting, even.
Yes.
There isn't an airport for 50 miles, but...
Here this thing is.
Now, was I right when I did it with the other one? Like Transformers are known, but if we start tromping around in human areas, it's going to cause a lot of disruption.
Yeah. Yeah, you did exactly right.
So it's not like it'll be like, oh my God, what the hell is that? Or like, oh my God, one of those things is here. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So here's what you know of Transformers activity on Earth. A few years previous, Megatron had effectively, like, Megatron and Prime and a lot of their inner circle were trapped on Earth. So Megatron just said, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to stay here. We're going to take over. And they started a war that lasted for a few months until Prime and the rest of his soldiers were able to kind of rebuff them. And it also wasn't even until they got some reinforcements come in that they were truly able to push Megatron back and effectively liberate the planet.
Liberate.
Megatron knew what he was doing, right, Wildstrike?
That's a good plan. We're stuck here. Might as well live here, right?
A few years pass, and the Transformers get hunted by various government agencies because they're running low on Energon, and they just have no real like support or anything. So, you know, it's not like this giant army. It's just like a bunch of like survivors, kind of like how the storylines on the movies work. Where it's just like a bunch of survivors kind of trapped on the planet. So they do
see if the Autobots hadn't interfered, things would have been well.
And eventually, some of the Autobots start working with some of the leadership of the planet. Some straggler Decepticons do as well. But eventually, ships from the both the Autobot and Decepticon fleets eventually come to Earth. They connect back up and they eventually leave Earth and head back to Cybertron to do their own thing. It's not until a few years later when the space bridges are established that Prime returns to Earth, raises Metro Titan from under the sands of Monument Valley, and Transformers come back kind of en masse to the planet. And again, like Matt did on the Rustford Files, they are it's known, they're known, mostly feared, but they're certainly out there. And especially if you're in the southwestern United States, you will likely see a Transformer at some point as you're out and about. But still, you know, it's not a common occurrence.
Was there significant damage or death toll from the short little war with the humans, or was it just between the robots? Okay.
There was many, many deaths. probably thousands of them. So
probably not super popular here though.
The United States tolerates them because they don't have much of a choice. I mean, they can try fighting back, but if the Cybertronians really did make a concerted effort, then the humans would stand no chance. So they tolerate them much like they would tolerate an invading army.
Did you guys ever watch Farscape?
Saw a couple episodes.
They did something very brave. They actually went to Earth and like exposed Earth to like aliens and stuff, and they like dealt with that, the fallout of that. And there was a really one of those scenes was, it was like they were interviewing Aaron Soon, and the guy was just like, you know, like, well, are we safe? And he's just like, you know, she's just like, well, like, if you're asking whether or not like we couldn't like invade, if we wanted to invade, yeah, we could take you over. Like, you know, military, you're not a threat, you're not even a potential ally, like, you know. So it's just like, and like, obviously to humans, that's a terrifying thing to hear, to realize that we're not the biggest, baddest thing out there. But I just love that. She's like, you know, militarily, you're not even a potential ally. Like, you know, it's just like, yes, if we wanted to, we could. Deal with it, you know, grow up.
Well, why would we want to?
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and I will say, give me a computers check to look up any information about Leatherback, or you can give me a survival check if you just want to start tracking him down and just see kind of where he was, where he's been.
I can aid with a computer's check.
Is Prime still on Earth?
He likely would be on Earth.
Okay. Well, see if we can run into him at some point. I am not a computers person, so if somebody wants to do that, I can try and aid, but my method is definitely a start with survival. So,
also, Sweet Spot might want to take the lead
on computers.
No, I was thinking on diplomacy just to ask around the population of Metro Titan. Let's see, because that's also another way to hunt for him, too, is to sort of ask around. That's our third option. And you did plus two for computers?
Plus two for computers, if anyone would like to give that a try, I can aid.
Yep.
Michael can aid with computers as well, plus two. And I can aid, Wildstar can aid survival plus two.
Okay. With the survival plus two, I have a 31.
Damn. You know how to survive.
Survival is one of my best skills, so.
With all the aids, I have a 42.
42 on computers. All right, so we got a 31 and a 42. All right.
Wow.
Both excellent, excellent rolls.
I should learn everything with a 42, right?
Yes. Leatherback arrived before you guys came to Earth to attend the party with Windblade and Prime. And he actually rented a room here in the embassy. So he was actually staying here at Metro Titan. And also with the 31, I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, the room is listed, as you get closer to the room, you can definitely smell his scent and you can figure out kind of exactly where he's been. The scent track mostly goes back and forth between the kind of big, like, gala hall that Windblade and Prime were in and his room. You kind of get the sense that he really didn't go, he wasn't really, like, here for sightseeing. You know, he was kind of focused on what he was doing.
Right.
But he also spent a lot of time effectively in one of, like, the communication hubs. And this particular communication hub is one of those ones that that you kind of passed as you were heading away from the immigration, the space bridge room, where it's just a bunch of, like, monitors of Earth programs. So he looked like he was effectively kind of watching, like, the news, getting the lay of the land, and what have you.
Gala Hall is kind of a cool name. Just saying. So how long ago did we kill him?
It's been like a week or two.
It would have been just a couple of days.
Really?
Okay. So, like, I'm curious, like, have they cleaned out his room yet? Is my question. Like, you know,
let's
where are his
out,
personal effect?
Yeah. Let's go take a look.
And I'll give you Matt, I'll give you one more piece of info as we do this. I'm assuming that you examine the comm room. As to, like, where, like, you know, what he was doing, you do find that he did some searches, specifically about Florida in the United States.
Florida. Florida.
What can you tell us about this Florida?
It's large concentrations of elderly human units and lots of sun, beaches, beach parties, crocodiles or alligators. I never could tell the difference. So, sounds like a perfect place for Mr. Luggage.
So you're saying it was a veritable paradise. So it must be where all their important people go.
Yeah, all the old senior citizens go there, so it must be very important. I mean,
the venerated and the wise.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is this? What is this thing? Spring break? What is that?
I guess it's like when you. I think it has to do with when your suspension is off, and you have to go get your springs fixed because they're broken.
That would make sense if there are a lot of elderly humans. Probably a lot of broken springs.
Right. I mean, I haven't seen very many shows about that, but it does definitely seems like some springs are loose. If you watch those. There's definitely a lot of bouncing about.
Nice. I don't know where you're going with that. Do I need to put this on a PG-13 rating now?
Yep.
We're already marked explicit, I mean. Doesn't really... not something he would have seen very much.
So is it, you say it's hot and it's sunny, but crocodiles live there, so is that...
Lots of swamps, watery? Yes. Yes, you're right. There's lots of swamps. And something called the Everlasting Glades. I think they're called. Huh. Blades. I don't know. Which I think
that sounds peaceful. Deodorant,
but never mind. Yeah, but apparently there's a lot of swamps and mush and mires. So, I mean, it's a big part of the place there.
Okay, that sounds a good place to hide.
And and apparently the crocodiles or alligators have a taste for criminals, because every time there's a gunfight in there, at least one of them gets bitten.
What?
I don't know. It just seems like awfully common, you know.
Huh. All right.
They never bite the cops. I don't, for some reason. So I guess we're okay because we're law enforcement.
Right. I don't understand the reference on that, but that's okay.
All the movies he watches.
Oh, right. And, right. Sorry. Durf.
Yeah, I mean, the alligator always gets some goon, you know.
Right, right. I forgot it was specifically through the lens of your
colored. He has a very colored
view. Yes.
Actually, I think he has a very black and white view of the world.
Yeah.
I'll see myself out.
Okay, so how far away is this Florida?
Wow.
All right. Garpus wanted to. Oh, you were asking like if the room was still. Still as it was.
Yes.
If you want to head there, go for it.
Okay, I do.
All right, stand back. He's gonna open the lock.
Go ahead and give me a. I believe it would be engineering check. Because as you get close to the door, you try to open it, and it is locked.
I have a 41.
Damn.
He just said he pokes it, wow. Bumps it, and poof, pops it.
Just like the Fonz, he just kind of hits it, boom, hey, and door opens.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah, you head on into the room. It looks like there are some hay piles off in the corner.
Hay piles.
Next to the actual... next to the recharge slab. And yeah, it is... the ambient temperature has been turned up to a very, very warm. So...
Okay.
Give me a quick perception check and let's look around.
Perception. Ooh, that's good. 16 plus 14. So I have an even 30.
And I also have a 29 for aiding. Oh, no, that's wild strike, sorry. Mine was a 34 to aid your perception.
Okay, so that's 6. So that's 36. So 6 from wild strike. 6 from sweet spot. Wild strike.
4 from me and 2 from Nyko.
So 12. And Magnum?
4 from Magnum.
6, 16... 18. Okay, so 48.
I'm glad you were primary in that one. I rolled minimum.
All right, so you see a couple of data pads over on the side, kind of near the recharge lab. And you start heading over to grab them, but you notice immediately that there are two wires that are coming out from the pad to what looks like the wall, but it looks like it's like hidden underneath some of the hay on that. So yeah, you think something is going on here. How do you want to proceed?
Well, I'll stop everybody and be like, hey, I know how paranoid he probably was, so this is probably trapped. So if one of you, I think engineering is again the skill used to disable traps, so I can aid at that. But I definitely pointed it out, so.
All right.
Engineering, I'm not very good at this. Well, I add 2.
I can also aid with a plus 2.
I guess so. 41.
All right. Carapace, you lift up Pythagoras as you kind of dangle him over the hay piles. And Pythagoras, you carefully disconnect and cut through the cords towards the data pad. and you successfully bypass the trap. It would have been an electrified, effectively an electrified floor trap. So anyone who was going to go and grab it would have been shocked pretty badly.
Shocking.
Good job. Good job, everyone. Okay. Take a look at the data pads, and effectively what it is it's research on Earth, and it's research on an area of Florida, much like you said, in the Everglades. So you have a kind of this narrowed down area, which is about 1 to 2 square miles.
Whoa.
And
that's crazy narrowed down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like Leatherback has been using hacked satellites to try and narrow down, effectively, like to narrow out or to rule out other various kinds of movement throughout the Everglades.
Right,
and wow. He managed to narrow it down to a specific section.
All right,
nicely done.
Very good.
All right. Okay,
I think we're going to Florida, boys.
Anything else? Like, was there, like, means of getting there? Any other residual equipment, leads on other bounties?
We'll say that you do catch, you do pick up his bounty list. I don't have the list kind of written up for you or anything, but
right.
We'll say that there are
later.
Five... Yeah, there are five active bounties that he was working on. Along with a couple of leads on each of them. None of them are as far along, though, as Swampstone.
How much is the bounty on Swampstone, and who is asking?
Ah, great question. And it was one of the Fate Weavers. It's not a name you recognize, so you think it is one of the... It's not one of the ones you've interacted with so far.
Okay,
but it looks like they are the ones who contracted with Leatherback to either capture or kill Swampstone. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The bounty says preferably alive, half bounty if dead.
Okay, interesting. And how much?
We'll say 50,000 Chanix. You get the sense that it's almost like what's the word I'm searching for? Kind of like if you find this person, you know, get them, but you don't really get the sense that they believe that he exists.
Right. Okay. So like Santa Claus is also on that list.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A little bit less mythical than Santa Claus, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we're in luck. According to the maps that I found, this Florida is only, it's only a couple of thousand melees away.
What's a melee?
M-I-L-E-S.
It's when melee. You fight. It's when you fight, you know, together, like adjacent.
So we have to fight our way to Florida.
We got to fight our way everywhere.
give me a culture check, all of you. Or whomever wants to.
Culture. All right. I'll give it a shot.
21.
I myself got a straight up dirty 20.
Nico got a 20 as well.
It's the day for 20s.
Except for Magnum.
It is.
You got a rock.
Magnum's going to get like a 35 or something.
No. I'm on minimums for everything today. I got a 19.
Ironically, the only person who can't figure this out is Magnum. but all the rest of you are able to kind of look at the map, and when you put your heads together, you can plot out a course over several kind of back road highways, like state routes, and things that avoid a lot of like major metropolitan areas. And you think you've been able to plot out a course that will get you from Metro Titan here in Monument Valley to the region of the Everglades that you need to be in, all of which that avoid major cities.
Hmm. Okay.
How about that?
How long do you think it'll take to get there?
If you go straight, if just straight through with little stops, you could, I don't know the exact distances, you could probably get there in 2 to 4 days?
I can get there much faster.
I can get there faster. You want to race?
On the ground?
Are we limiting ourselves to, you know, ground vehicles, or can we take flight?
I can get most of you there flying.
Yeah, we have a transport ship and a jet. So, so
why don't we walk?
I walk right up to Wild Strike.
I mean,
wind my hand up like I'm about to hit him and think, nah. you know what you did. I don't need to punish you anymore. Walk, he says.
So we should do a similar path just via air.
The humans, if I remember correctly, are very, very picky about their airspace. We might want to, if we're going to be lying low, keep at least a lower altitude instead of going over the Gulf. Maybe we should follow the terrestrial routes, because we might create an international incident if we don't.
That sounds like a good idea.
I'm all right with, you know, travel on the ground.
Wild Strike can surf Sweet Spot.
Oh boy.
All right. One thing I want to look for before we go just occurred to me that this is a human planet. So if we leave, there is no way for us to be recharged when they're out there.
Oh.
So it's going to be like we're going without sleep day after day after day, you know. So I'm going to see if we can rent borrow a solar powered, you know, recharge unit with enough for like all of us.
Don't you have a recharge facility in one of your bays?
I don't have one dedicated. I could probably do some, but it's still my power, so I'm gonna run out of power too. So yeah, it does. It could be done, but it's sort of like I'm just moving charge from one place to another. So I don't think it would be enough to last us a few days. I mean, in the short term, it'd probably be fine.
Does my survival of the fittest apply to this?
Remind me what it does.
I bet you could. You could manage, right?
Yeah, Eucharis is not a robotic world. So since Energon wasn't naturally occurring, they developed a way of converting biomatter into fuel. So up to 3 times per day, if I succeed at a survival check to forage for food on a biological planet, I can regain D6 hit points. Oh. Now, it doesn't say, like, hit points. Like, you know, I don't think you take hit point damage, but it implies to me that I can extract energon from organic sources.
Yeah, that sounds very reasonable, because there probably aren't a lot of retribed slabs in Eukari. You create in the Eukarin. The ghost of Rob is getting me. I cannot pronounce it.
Okay, cool. That's one less thing.
Yeah.
So is there a rental though that I could take? You know, I mean, this has got to be a thing. You know, well, it doesn't have to be a thing, but
I think it kind of comes back to the whole idea of like Cybertronian tourism that's going on here, where, you know, like a Cybertronian who is kind of wandering around and exploring the planet is going to have some way of maintaining their energy. So I'll say, yeah, you know, as a kind of like on one of the main like embarkation areas, there is a couple of like shops set up for system rentals. So if you want to rent like a solar power generator or an electricity to energon kind of converter like element, you can do that. So yeah, there's also some generator pieces of equipment that will convert gasoline into energon at a much, much unfavorable rate, of course.
Do they have a combo for the solar and the electrical?
Not a combo, but you can get one of both if you want.
All right.
Okay. I'll
borrow that. It's enough for all of us.
We'll say it's roughly the size of a backpack, because it's going to have to be somewhat portable for Cybertronians who are exploring.
That's all right. I'll just transform into a building, put it in the closet, and then transform back.
As you do.
Science. Because I noticed Big C, or what's the gentleman's name? Who? Oh my goodness, we played the game with him. Oh, what's Big C's name? He was playing with us. He had a
Charles.
Charles. I'm sorry, Charles. I'm sure you're gonna hear this. I'm bad with names. Please forgive me. He was throwing stuff in his alt form like that too. I was thinking when I was listening to it a while back. It's like, I never do that, but I have like this massive amount of cargo storage. I could basically hold all our extra junk, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So much like the big road trip movies of the 90s, you guys mount up, get your supplies in order, and you start heading out on the eastbound road, heading towards Florida.
I'll get on the CB radio. Hey, good day, hot dog. We're rolling on the poop deck here. Any spatulas out there?
So Texas has 930 exits east to west.
Oh, nice.
I know this because I drove them.
Well, I guess that's because everyone wants to get out of Texas.
Oh.
I've insulted Florida today. I may as well insult Texas.
Well, that'll be just fine.
Trust me, guys. I live in Massachusetts. Everybody hates us.
Breaker, you got Pete, Willie, and Boyd. You're going to have to get on the truck of Dodge and pop a bottle and pop a bottle.
Anybody get that?
Roger. Over there, yeah. The fur coat is definitely in the closet. Yes, thank you.
I'll turn over to Texas Flapjacks.
Thank you. Texas Flapjacks, yes. Eggs and bacon on you, too.
Oh, my God. Do you actually understand that?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
What are you telling them?
But I'm hungry. But I'm certainly hungry.
What is everyone's land speed? Overland speed.
300 something. You know, at max speed.
Oh, damn, you're fast. So I think my overland is 90, like 90 miles per hour is my, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
As a tank.
You are
a truck.
That's true.
A lot better than any earth vehicle.
So I can do 90 miles an hour as my sustained land speed. So as a tank, a walking one or sprinting one.
Hey, Pythagoras, you want to learn how to drive? Because I can think of no other better way to pass the time while we're going 90 miles an hour.
Only 90 miles an hour. Yeah.
I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah,
you're doing fine.
Go ahead, check out the next town, and then come back. Sure thing. I guess I could give that a go. Why not?
What kind of
You Take It to the Limit by Eagles?
What kind of car do you look like?
An expensive one.
Yeah, my main form is a Velocitronian racer, but I can adjust that with the mysterious stranger. So I'm likely going to look like a Lamborghini. It's the closest analog I can think of that would fit my body style.
Right.
So you get on the road and start your engines. Wild Strike, are you following like above them? Like what's the
what's the deal? I'll follow above. I'll fly around.
Okay. Provides, I think, some good little scouting opportunities for you, too. So as you're kind of ranging ahead a little bit, and then circling back as you wait for them to catch up, and circle around again, just thinking, oh my god, Sweet Spot's so slow.
I'm thinking, oh my god, Carapace is so slow.
I'm like, it's been a long time since I've done such a long run.
We'll say that it's going to take a total of 4 days, just because you're going nonstop. But you're making at a really good pace there, and unlike humans, you don't really have to slow down and make pit stops and shit like that. But I imagine that as you're heading down the road, you will occasionally stop to kind of see some of the things that are here on Earth. And one of the first things you come to is, well, it looks like a mini little, like, mini town. It's a very small town, too, at least by human standards. It's just effectively a bunch of buildings kind of on the side of, like, one main road. And as you're looking off in the distance, you see it's just homes and other small, low buildings. There's a gas station you're passing on one side. And I imagine maybe you slow down and kind of just as it gets close to evening, maybe you just kind of stop and hold off for an evening to recharge, make certain that everything is your energy levels are topped off. Maybe Carapace, at this point, you kind of wander off and maybe find some cacti to chomp down on.
This planet has very beautiful sunsets. I will give it that. You know, the amount of pollution that they've left in the air, you know, it's very different than Eucharis. And obviously there's no atmosphere on Cybertron, so it's like...
You're telling me.
And as you're kind of like bunking down here, a sweet spot, I want you to give me a perception check.
Perception check, you say? And to that,
as you are kind of rolling up to the, like, a parking lot or a gas station or something, you know, some place to just kind of spend the night. And Pythagoras, I'll say you're still inside sweet spot. You can give me a perception check too if you want.
My perception check is a 21.
21. All right.
Be all right if we were in Vegas.
29 for perception.
Both of you see it. Pythagoras, you see it first. There's a bunch of humans hanging out by this gas station. And as the Lamborghini form of sweet spot pulls up, you notice that all the cameras, all the phones start coming out, and flashes start going off. And as he's pulling in, like, they're taking tons of pictures of this this svelte Lamborghini pulling into the gas station.
Hmm. Wonder what's going on here. Are they pointing those things at us?
I don't know. Is it a photo op?
I'm presuming that maybe Pythagoras is disguised by a hologram or something like that.
Like tinted windows.
Tinted windows. Definitely tinted windows. That's
what makes it easier. What do you two want to do about this?
You're in your element right here, there, sweet spot.
Yeah, but I'm not exactly capable of really discussing things with these humans. I don't think I know a single one of them out of the maybe dozen or so that I've met.
Yeah, me neither. Maybe we should get a low profile here.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know. Why do you think they're taking a picture anyway?
Because I look amazing.
All right, it's true.
And you can see that the three or four that came over are starting to attract other townsfolk in the area. And you can kind of see like them starting to come over too to, you know, wonder what's going on. You hear them kind of talking in the background. It's like, is that some, like, movie star? Like, is that someone who's like passing through the town here? Maybe they'll stay at the hotel. You know, maybe they're just getting gas or something. Dude, if the door opens, just take a picture. Just take a picture. Just run up there, take a picture, just do a selfie, and then just run off. Just do it. Just do it.
Are we able to communicate with each other? Like, do we have like
comms?
Comms, right?
Yeah. Okay. Certainly. We can say that you've put some comms if you want.
Yeah, I'll do that. Open it up for everyone to hear. This is an interesting predicament that I've gotten myself into.
Yeah, might want to just
told you we should have flown.
Yeah, there you go. couldn't you just drive off? Yeah. I mean, literally, this is a zip zip zoom, you know?
Do a peel out. Beep your horn. They'll dig that.
Yeah, do you want to change these people's lives?
Don't tempt me. Don't get me in trouble with the...
No!
With the visitors board. All right, I will go down to one end of the parking lot, away from the crowd. I will do a few donuts, and then I will, create a bit of a smoke show as I peel on out of here. This wasn't some place that we need to stop, was it? We're just making a pit stop?
We're just stopping to rest.
Yeah, we should probably... You know, I mean, I could turn into a big enough building for all of us to stay in.
We could just move on down the road until we're nowhere near anyone. And just camp it there.
I mean, you're the hare, and I'm the tortoise, so I'm just like...
Just do a little smoke show, keeping them entertained while you pass on by. And I'm like, okay, now it's time to catch up.
Okay. Yeah, you do some donuts in there, and they're taking pictures, they're thinking this is the coolest thing ever. It's like, oh man, I wonder who it is. Is it Nicolas Cage? Is he driving through here? Is it The Rock? Is it The Rock? Yeah, we'll get The Rock going on here, don't we? Yeah, come on. And like as you're doing the donuts, you hear them shouting out, it's like, come on out. And you disappoint them.
Yep.
That's what we do.
And you speed off. And by the time they realize that you're speeding off and they're not coming back, they're like, ah. One of them tries to chuck like a trash can lid at you, but you're way too far gone.
Wow. See, that to shower me with gifts.
They're violent here.
Fickle little buggers, aren't they? All right, can I scan? I'm sort of a nondescript building as we go by, so I can sort of change to be a little less obvious if we park and I turn into a...
Like a gas station?
Yeah, or a warehouse.
Maybe not somewhere that people would want to stop.
Maybe like
just a random warehouse in the middle of the desert. I got you.
Listen, have you ever seen a horror movie? That's not where you want to be.
You ever seen Warehouse 13? That is where you want to be.
I see what you did there. All right, yeah, you can scan a warehouse or a building on the way out of town, and we'll say maybe you drive another 2 or 3 hours or so, just so you're well outside of town line, and well before you would get to the next piece of civilization, and you stop building, and you makes up a little spot to rest for the night.
I'll go full size, and everybody's inside. Lock everything up.
Lock it down.
I can also burrow. And just, like, keep myself underground if that's useful.
All depends on what you prefer. You might like to do that since there's actual dirt here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably, if we're resting, I will burrow down into the ground and... Wow, it's actually a little bit cooler down here because we're in the desert, right? This is, like, are we still in Texas?
Yeah. Let's say you're past... You're okay. Probably halfway through Texas by now.
Okay.
Pretty cold by Velocitronian standards.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Actually, yeah, positively frigid. But yeah, night passes, no issues or anything, and you get recharged, and you kind of move along for the next day.
The next day comes, I'm like, ha! Oh my God, the sun's coming up! Oh, wait a minute. That's actually a good thing. Had myself a little morning scare there. Forgot where I was. You ever do that? Anyone?
Yeah, when some lunatic starts screaming inside of me, yes, you jump up, wake up real fast.
Sorry about that, Magnum.
All right. So yeah, you're heading down the road, and... Wild Strike, I want you to make me a quick perception check.
Oh.
Just Wild Strike.
34.
Son of a bitch. All right. The road is going to pass through another town. This is a little bit bigger than the last one. Probably the largest settlement that you folks are going to pass on this trip. And it's about the... To give you, like, an idea, it's... I'm trying to think of like a small kind of like
Springfield?
Townish like
Austin
size.
I'd say smaller than Springfield.
Holyoke,
Austin,
Boston. Say again, Springfield.
Austin,
Boston.
No, Austin.
Oh no,
Austin, Texas.
Austin.
Austin is enormous.
I think.
Yeah, Austin's big.
Yeah, pretty large. I think. So imagine kind of like a more like a suburb kind of size town. There's like a small like little downtown section. But as you're passing through, like, this is gonna be like the biggest, I say city, but it's really just in like a large town. That's really all it is. But it is going to be the biggest settlement that you're passing through on the way. And as you're kind of going through this, you're already into like the outer like limits of that town. You're through like the where like some of the houses and some like the little smaller shops are. And Wildstrike, as you fly overhead, you can notice that there are more humans than you expected for a town of this size.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Like by thousands or?
So the last town you passed, and like from everything you've seen about human culture, like there's a population density. And going through like a city like this, you'd expect to see, I don't know, maybe 100 people or so, like as you're passing through it.
Okay.
You're seeing about 200-300. So more than is typical. And a lot of them have these kind of like camo jackets on, like this camo, like the human camouflage jackets, like the kind of green splotchy ones.
The ones that are useless in the desert.
Just a heads up, we got a town up ahead with a lot of people.
Okay.
All right. Like,
more people than there should be.
Do they have a drive
way around?
Or drive up? Drive in?
A what?
Drive in movie theater.
Do I see a drive in movie theater?
You know what? Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. There is one.
Oh, sweet spot. Can we go? Can we go? Please.
I could do a show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you All right, Carapace, as you guys are pulling into like the downtown section on here, Sweet Spot kind of like shoots off and heads down a side street towards a drive-up movie theater.
What's anything going on?
Yeah, we're going to go take in a show.
Yeah, Roger Corman's going on.
The young learned driver here would like to take in a movie at a theater, a drive-in theater. And I personally have never been.
Double feature.
I don't think I have either.
The monstrous mushrooms from Mars.
Salacious salamanders from Saturn.
So,
it's a double feature, man.
Are we going to do this? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Do we have any Earth currency? Don't they do like this weird like representative barter system thing here?
Yes.
That Magnum will search his pockets. Maybe he's doing something. Is there a percentage chance he has some Earth money on him?
Matt, go ahead and roll me your percentiles.
All right.
2d10s.
2d10s. 85.
You got 85 big smackers in your pocket.
Ooh.
There.
Wow.
I want to be impressed, but is that a lot? I don't know.
It's more than you have.
Yeah. All right. They have the numbers on the boards. So, he knows enough about it to understand prices here, I think. As long as it's in English, you know.
Yep.
So, he'll just squeeze the money. Pythagoras will squeeze the money out just the door, you know, just to pull down the window just a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so the three of you go ahead and grab a double feature. Wildstrike. Go ahead and give me one more perception check there.
What are those dumbasses doing?
31.
31. All right. You can see from above that a lot of the people that were milling about, like on the main street there, once Sweet Spot and Carapace turned off into the parking lot for the theater, you see that there's a lot of them were start moving in that direction. You are tactically enough-minded to notice that the crowd of them are actually surrounding the block that the movie theater is on. Not every single person, mind you, but a good chunk of them are moving in that direction.
Heads up, guys. That gathering of people, I think they're onto you.
I mean, I don't have enough money for all of them.
What do you mean onto us?
They seem to be following you. They're surrounding the block.
This block? The block that we're on?
Yep. They're getting closer.
I mean, it's a double feature. Why wouldn't they?
Well, I'm not really liking the sound of this.
I think you're going to find out soon enough.
Pythagoras, you can go ahead and make a... We'll say engineering on this one.
Engineering.
And I'll even give you a... You can take a +4 bonus for it because it was something you're good at.
32.
So when Wildstrike tells you that there are people moving around, you turn on pretty much like every sensor that you have and scan like all the airwaves, scan everything, and you can hear coordination over shortwave radio and walkie-talkies. And you hear that the Cybertronians are in the parking lot. All right, teams one, team one, team two, go to the north. Teams three, four, go to the south. It sounds amateurish. It doesn't sound like professional, but you can definitely feel that they are. It is a coordinated effort to surround the parking lot.
I will patch in the audio to everyone because the more tactical minded of us should hear this. Wildstrike and Carapace would be better to know what's going on. So,
I think your cover's blown.
I mean, they use the word Cybertronian, so they
know we're here. What we're doing.
How did they know?
That's a good question. I'm not afraid of them, obviously. Like, I'm more afraid that if they attack us, then we're going to hurt them.
Yeah, I didn't tell anyone that we were Cybertronian. Did you, Matt? Did you, Pythagoras?
No, I don't think I mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, I just said four, please.
You can give me a computer's check, if you want.
I mean, we can come back and check a double feature again on our way back.
Yeah.
You guys could fly away.
Yep, I'm down with that. You could get out of here.
I mean, the question is, I mean, they know we're here, so it's not like we're hidden anymore. And
right.
Do we want to run away or do we want to find out what they want? I mean, I could get in their communications and ask them.
Listen, do they look like they're armed? That's something I could tell.
Mike, I'm going to say no for Wildstrike because you're so far up.
Okay.
But if someone else wants to do a perception check afterwards, you can. Matt, what was your computers again? Sorry.
28 computers.
So some quick backtracking on the human internet tells you that the pictures that showed up that were taken from Sweet Spot have circulated through several conspiracy theory sites, and it's made their way to several home militia sites as well, with markings of Cybertronian ?
Huh. Do they have anything, what I can see, have anything like that could even remotely affect us?
In that case, a perception check from all of you except Wildstrike.
Got myself a 26.
31.
39.
I rolled a 17 on that one. It's like, scan, it's like, oh, they're using like gunpowder projectiles. Like,
well, so do I. So does Meg. To be fair, they're just a lot bigger.
All right. So that was a 26, a 31, and a 39. Damn. So Sweet Spot, you can see that there are some like deformations, some bulges in some of the coats. So you would think that there probably are armed, some kind of human weapons. Carapace, you definitely see some of the human weapons. You can also see a few of the people who are kind of like in the back rows. They have much like larger things that are like hidden underneath the coat, and you can see one of them holding this kind of big cylindrical object. And Pythagoras, you see all of that, and you're picking up a Cybertronian energy signature from one of them. Not from the entire person, but from something that they're holding.
Can I identify it?
Sure. Give me a computers.
35.
Yes. This is a Cybertronian weapon. Actually, what I'll even kind of roll over some of the culture checks from before. You know that someone had cloned Megatron's gun form and miniaturized it. And they had been duplicated. There was about, I think, somewhere on lines of like 30 to 40 like copies of him that were made. These are just like effectively like the gun form of Megatron. And they were miniaturized to human scale and given out to these like human freedom fighter groups. So one of them has one of these in his pocket.
God, it's like a level 25 weapon former.
And we'll see you next time.
Right.
Bastards.
From the secret files of Teletran 1, worry, guys, Empire of Rust is written to GM by Michael Ordway. Detective Magnum and his partner Pythagoras are played by Matthew G. Ambassador Sweetspot, Councilman of Velocitron, is played by Adam H.U. The Decepticon Target Master, Wildstrike, and his partner Nyko are played by Mike M. And Carapace, the Beast Warrior of Primitive Eucharis, is played by Patrick Finn. Additional characters are played by Michael Ordway, Brandon Ouellette, and Charlotte Chapman. Outro narration by Derek Bixby. Empire of Rust is supported by the humans and networks of planet Earth, whose online networks provide access to libraries of sound effects and music such as Storyblocks, Zasplat, Blue Zone, Pixabay, Paper Yellow Music, and Dark Fantasy Studios. We are distributed by the Transmissions Podcast Network. Stay up to date with all the latest news and reviews in the world of the Transformers by going to transmissionspodcast.com or searching the Transmissions wherever you get podcasts. You can communicate with the heroes of Cybertron by joining us on the Transmissions Discord channel. There you can discuss episodes, talk to the cast, and download the rule set used in Empire of Rust. Teletran 1, signing off.